Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. I'm Jamie Nye. He is Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Darrell Davis and Grey Cup champion offensive lineman Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday night as the Riders beat the Lions 33-27 and bounce back after that disappointing loss a week ago today in that smoke-delayed game against the Calgary Stampeders. Before we hear from the head coach, let's hear from you on the fan line. Govan, you're next. What is on your mind with the Riders improving to 5-1?
Well, personally, I'm just happy I don't have to like put up with a week of fans just freaking out over one loss. Yeah, it was bad last week, but I really think it was just a one-off. We were still 4-1.
Well, you live in Calgary, though, so how annoying are your Stampeder fans, friends?
You can't really find any. They still aren't really paying attention. I think they're all hungover from Stampede.
Oh, maybe it was good timing then for the Riders loss. But, Gov, what else is on your mind tonight?
Well, I thought, like, you know, thinking about it now, I thought our pass rush really got stronger and stronger as the game went on to fourth quarter. After I'm done, I wouldn't mind hearing, like, your thoughts and Belton's maybe on how Washington looked at left tackle. I watched him the first series, and it looked really good, and it didn't really pay attention after that. I guess you probably saw me raging about it on X. I don't understand how the officials can get an actual rule wrong. At the end of the first half, that kick by Sean White should have been 5 yards further back, and he barely made it. It was third down, time count. They said delay of game, 5 yard penalty, and somebody posted the rule. The last 3 minutes of the half on third down, you take a delay of game penalty, it's 10 yards. I don't know how you missed that. Like that could have been huge. Like that's 3 points the BC potentially does not get. I mean, and then, of course, there's Harris getting hit in the face where on that long one to MLS where the ball should have been first and goal into one. I mean, hate to be, ticky-tack about some officiating, but, boy, there was a couple of calls there that, could have been about a six-point swing, I think, in the Riders' favor that were just missed.
Is that the end of the both halves or just the second half on the 10-yard penalty?
I was wondering, and someone posted the rule, like they actually posted the literal rule from the rule book and put an excerpt out there, and it's both halves.
I'll do a double check on that, Gov. I haven't seen that on X, but you also asked, well, the pass rush and the left tackle. The pass rush did get stronger as the game went on. They only got one sack registered, but Nathan Rourke was not comfortable.
Well, I think the pass rush got better because they brought few more people, and the D-line, they started stunning a little bit more, right? Meaning, the defensive end are crashing, the tackle or loop around and everything, and just to get the offense line on different levels. So, yes, it did get better. They were pressuring them a bit, and I did love that they brought different people from different spots because, Darrell, I don't know about you, but I was just looking like, man, where did that guy come from?
We had to look at the replays. Where did he show up from?
Because
it used to be just Jameer Thurman was the only guy they'd ever blitzed.
In the middle, usually, right?
They were bringing AJ Allen a couple times. That's true. Yep.
So that was good that they changed it up in that sense. And as far as the left tackle goes, I mean, I didn't hear hardly anything, right?
The blindside sack.
That one, right?
But like you
other
said,
than
right,
that, though,
right from the beginning, you said that he cleared a spot for AJ.
He pulled, right?
Yeah. Yep. Went around the end.
And so, for me, if you don't hear the offensive line, like last week we heard, right? You heard how they weren't coming off the ball. They were getting pushed back and everything, right?
Yep.
You didn't hear that this go around because they were being the hammer this go around.
They were mad at themselves last week talking to them. And then they vowed to play better, and they certainly did. Both sides, too. And having Caleb Sanders back in the middle.
Oh, yeah. He was getting back there. Yes, he was getting pressure for sure.
And I think it really helped Micah Johnson and Mike Rose, who had very good games between each of them did. Mike Rose, you could see a lot of him. He had a very good game. Yeah. I think that's probably because a little better rotation, right? They have Ali Saad in there, but he's still learning the game and isn't a real force yet. But Caleb Sanders certainly can be a force, and I think letting him play a little bit probably wore down the interior of that BC offensive line and helped out the pass rush quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You find something about the rule yet, Jamie?
It does say, after the three-minute warning has been given, in a half, the penalty is first down, second down, lost down, or, of course, a loss of 10 yards. Third down, it is just a loss of 10 yards. There's a couple of other notes here on referee discretion, taking deliberate third down time count penalties, et cetera, on that. But I just wanted to double check. I don't doubt fans don't have the rule book, but I was like, is that an old rule book or something? But no, that's the 2025 rule book right in front of me.
Only give him five.
On time count. I'm only giving five.
Didn't know
it's about
that,
par for the course.
They should have reviewed it, Jamie. See, reviews get everything perfect, you guys. Isn't that why we have the review in this game? Let's review that. It should be 5, 10 yards. Take 10 more minutes. Okay. Go to the replay center.
All right. Let's go to Doug in Davidson next. Doug, what are you thinking?
Well, we haven't talked about this yet. And Daryl, I won't ever dispute your play of the game, but I thought a real key aspect of this game was the Riders' first possession in the second half.
Oh yeah,
they got the ball because it was kicked to them, and what was it, 4 or 5 plays, and Willett was in the end zone, 19-point lead. I thought that was huge. It was key, and it kept the momentum going.
That was the touchdown, the 30-yard touchdown.
Yes, but good point though. 66 yards in 4 plays they went, right? Yeah. And that was another Myers catch. Yeah. Certainly could have been. Yeah, that's kind of what salted it away. They did lose a little bit of that lead, but the fact that they started strong in the third quarter and then kept it up. Remember last week against Calgary, they scored that touchdown early on. We thought they closed the gap and then they gave everything up.
Yep.
At least it took them a while after that. So that certainly could have been play of the game. We usually have good arguments about it. I didn't tell them which one I was picking as play of the game tonight so that I couldn't get an argument with them, but that you make a great point.
It's a tie. 2 Dante Myers touchdowns at the start of each half.
But those bombs, right?
Oh, you know, yeah.
The 50-yard, 30-yard, like, man.
Trevor Harris was slinging it tonight.
Dante Myers was played a great game, too, and some pinpoint passes. Hey. Mm-hmm. Duncan Busby, Elmlis made a great catch, right? There were some great throws. So either one of those, and Myers had 2 huge plays, 2 huge touchdowns. Either one of them could have been the deciding factor tonight.
Everybody on offense contributed. Robustelli had a big catch. Keyshawn Johnson had a big catch. They caught him by the shoelace. He would have been gone for a big one in that football game. But right now, let's go to BC Place and hear from the head coach, Corey Mace, after a 33-27 victory. And how he's feeling in a response from last week.
It was great. You know, I'm just so proud of these guys, just how they responded from the pressure that they put on themselves. You know, we talk about it as a team, but, you know, ultimately it's the players in the locker room that got to hold each other to a standard and make sure they meet that. And they were on top of that, I thought, the whole week, man. So for these guys to come out here and have that kind of game, I'm just so damn proud of these guys.
What does it say about your group overall? I mean, Trevor and the offense specifically, just they were able to move the ball. I mean, most of the night, right? I don't think you guys punted till the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, it was great. I told Joe Kalshad at halftime, I said, I hope I don't even have to see you today. But, you know, Trevor was dialed, the offensive line. You know, I know Trevor got touched a couple times, but for the most part, man, I thought they did a hell of a job. Shout out to Darius Washington as well, jumping in there for his first game against Betson Tehama. I thought he did a great job, man, and the rest of the unit. And then, you know, I thought we had some hard runs on there, and they did a solid job.
Last week, you kind of mentioned about how your defense kind of got out-physicaled. How do you think today's game stacked up? Was the physicality up to standard, up to par?
Yeah, I thought it was much better. It was a little bit easier to watch this week with those guys. You know, I thought specifically up front from a D-line standpoint, you know, I know the sack totals wasn't anything crazy. I thought, you know, they were rushing physically against that offensive line and forcing Nathan into some decisions he might not have wanted. And then also, you know, we're getting back there and Nathan's a heck of an athlete. He got out of a couple, but I did think from a physicality standpoint, certainly liked what I saw. Out looking at statistics, you know, I know we kind of made him one-dimensional as a team, but, you know, some of the run game, I thought we did a good job.
Is there any update on Kadeem Carey?
Taylor, no update, man. I haven't, since I was with him on the field there, and been able to talk to Greg.
How tough is that? I don't think I caught the second part of your answer. How tough is it to see him go down like that?
It's hard to see anybody go down like that. Yeah, it just sucks to see anybody go down like that, man. But we understand what this game is, but it does never ever makes it any easier, to see things like that happen. So, he's got a hell of a support system. Everybody here, everybody loves Kadeem Carey, man, and freaking excellent human. So, we'll see where it goes and what happens. But regardless, he's still rocking with the green and white, man. We're happy to have him.
Corey, what are your thoughts on being 5-1 second year in a row? How important is it to kind of get that capital early in the season in a really tough division?
I think the potential is good, but as you know, Rob, it's because I'm talking to Rob, I can talk normal. I'm joking. But you got to prove it every week. So while that is our record right now, is a big focus for us about going 1-0. Just we stay focused on each week, period. So, we're grateful for it, but we're just looking ahead to Evans.
What kind of tonic is this to record an impressive victory on the road?
I think it's important. I mean, this is a good team. They were hot. They're coming in hot right now, and for us to come into their backyard and put together a performance like that, I thought it was awesome to see. It was awesome to see, and I thought there were some really highs in all three phases, and it was encouraging to see. So we'll celebrate it for now, and then tomorrow, maybe even potentially tonight. It's to the next week, man.
Do you want to touch on Harris's game? He came out gunslinging early in the connection with Dante Myers as well. Just kind of what did you see and what was working so well?
Well, I'll tell you what I saw. I'm staring at these two right now. I mean, they were dialed, man. Trevor found the open man, and that's what you love about Trevor Harris is, he's not going to get too locked in onto one receiver. He's going to find who's open, and he feels so confident in the entire group. To like down the depth chart too. So, with Myers, the double move they hit, I mean, it was a thing of beauty. You see it in the real time and you've seen it at practice. It was just incredible. We're happy as ever that Trevor Harris is our quarterback and Dante and the rest of the receiving corps are with us.
That is Corey Mace at BC Play Stadium. As he said, I'm looking at him right now. You will hear from Dante Myers and Trevor Harris. Mm-hmm. They were standing by to talk to the reporters as well after this game. And that, I think it started on day one, Belton, this week when he threw the pads. It's limited padded practices in the Canadian Football League. You can only have so many. You have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
I think that was an important day to pick to go, no, pads on after that, out physicaled against Calgary. Let's go.
And look at the results, right? Because you did see a much different team. Again, the Stamps, I couldn't believe the O-line was getting pushed backwards. And again, early on, I was talking to Daryl about it, where against the Stamps, they had the linebacker come up, and I swear, the linebacker got up, he got his pads up under the offensive lineman pads, mm-hmm. pushed the offensive lineman back. Well, when the offensive line is going backwards or stagnated or stale, the running back, there's no running lanes, right? The running back's going to get tripped up. Well, today it was a complete difference. I think they wanted to set that tone to show it right away because the first run of the game, I was like, okay, that this is a different team right now. And then did you hear Coach talk about the double move with Dante Myers there?
Yeah.
So I think they set that up because on the one side, they just ran a little in and, Trevor threw it and it almost looked like it was going to get picked off. Then they come back a couple plays later on the right side.
Same
this
look.
Time, yeah. Same look.
Pump fake.
And you saw that DB, he just kind of rushed and he slipped because the pump fake.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow,
that's good.
Somebody's been looking at some freaking film, man, because that was a genius play.
It was a good play.
Oh.
Hey, Trevor Harris doesn't pump fake very often.
No.
Right? So they had it all set up.
You're saw
right.
That,
they knew
man.
Exactly what they were doing on that one.
We'll hear from Trevor Harris, Dante Myers. Of course, we still have Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes. But also more time if you want to weigh in now on the fan line at 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone post-game show as the Riders beat the Lions 33-27 on this Saturday night on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Hope you are having a great Saturday. A little bit wet and stormy in some areas of the province. So it was a nice night to probably stay inside and watch the Riders beat up on the BC Lions 33-27. As we've said, score kind of flatters the home team a little bit with a touchdown with 19 seconds left and a two-point convert. So Buck Pierce was, he didn't want to go to overtime. He was like, let's just win this thing if we get this onside kick and a bomb. And we're out of here. So, interesting strategy at the end of the game.
It was. I thought, yeah, the touchdown kick one, he wasn't taking any chances. Boy, that was gutsy.
Because if you don't get it, then you know, okay, two-point convert to tie, and we'll go to overtime. But to get a two-point convert now, then we can win.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I kind of did too, right? I don't think teams go for 2 points enough. I think they're far too conservative. Because 1 point isn't guaranteed anymore, and 2 points, they're still getting more than half the two-point converts. They're always converting.
Well, the analytics would tell you if you miss one, the odds are, because it's almost 50-50.
It's about 55% usually for making two-pointers. So why don't you go for a two-pointer every single time? And you're right. You're going to make more points that way.
If I was a coach?
Well, you don't like
kickers. I wouldn't even have a kicker.
That'd be a new roster.
That's why Belton likes flag football so much.
They almost didn't even need their punter tonight. That was a pretty impressive.
That
thing
was
too, right?
Impressive.
Didn't punt till the fourth quarter, so that's a pretty good offensive showing.
Well, let's go to Derek and Moose on the fan line. Derek, thanks for giving us a ring. What are you thinking on this Saturday night with a Rider victory?
Well, I'm thinking it was a great game tonight, but I'm finally back in the CFL. I was not really paying attention too much to the CFL. Now this year, I'm really paying more attention, sort of straight away.
Are you having fun?
I love it. Like, I went to last week's the Smoke game. I took my girlfriend to her first ever CFL game, and we went home not watching a single game. So
that's unfortunate.
That's true.
I'm not even kidding. But it was great. We had a great time. We got, maybe a little too much drink, but that's okay. We had fun.
So, Derek, what are you thinking about this Rider win, though, this evening?
Well, I think it was a flattering win. I think Nathan Rourke's overrated. I don't think he's as good as his contract is. He's the highest paying quarterback in the league, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And he's probably maybe at best fifth. Like, really, his brother's better, and hopefully maybe if you're a Rider, you get to see him.
Yeah, they drafted Curtis Rourke, their Saskatchewan Rough Riders did. Yes, indeed.
I watched every game of Curtis last year. I'm a big NCAA nut. Belton, I'm an AIM fan. But
ooh. You broke his heart, Derek.
I don't care. I like Jackson Dart, though. I love Jackson Dart, but all Curtis right. is outstanding, and he is, he's accurate, great passer. I'm looking forward, hopefully. Well, no, actually, for him, I hope he stays down there, but for us, I'd hope he comes up and he shows his brother a thing or two because he's the better quarterback of the two.
Well, Derek, it's interesting. People are still atting me because I didn't put Curtis Rourke on my top 50 list. Top 40 list, because as a person who votes on that list, and I am one, you submit 40 people. Now, it's not 40. It is, you have to pick 5 offensive linemen and 4 DBs and 4 linebackers and 4 defensive linemen and 1 quarterback and 3 receivers and 2 running backs. Like, there's 16 extra spots, right? So where do those 16 extra spots go to? Yes, a lot of them are quarterback, but I couldn't put Nathan Rourke on there. I couldn't. After the season he had last year, with all the other quarterbacks that played last year, they were better than he was, period. And Nathan Rourke is proving that he is a top 40 quarterback against the Edmonton Elks. Let's see how he does against everybody else.
It wasn't bad tonight. What are you guys saying? He's 330 yards. Some of those plays he made.
That was yards after beatdown, Daryl, just like Trevor Harris. I think he had like 190 when this game was out of hand. And how many overthrows did he have tonight, Belton?
Yeah, he did struggle a little bit.
How many overthrows did he have?
About four or five, easily. Like, well over.
Now, the kid's talented. Yeah. That one touchdown throw to Eberhardt where he's like escaping everything and rolling out and tossing it downfield, that is an A-plus play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Vernon Adams Jr. is a better quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Trevor Harris is a better quarterback this year. Yeah. Davis Alexander is a better quarterback this year. So
there you go.
I understand what Derek's saying.
You don't think he's a top 50 player in the Canadian Football League yet?
He was not on my top 40 ballot, Daryl.
Okay.
This year, if I'm voting again,
he might make the cut.
He might be in the top 30. Okay. Right now, with all the mandates you have to have, with all the players you have to put on there before you get to actually, you only put one quarterback is mandated on that list, so that's why. I can understand what Derek's saying. And is Curtis better? We'll see. He's on the non-football injury list. He'll miss his first year in San Francisco, likely. That was expected with the knee surgery. And then next year he'll start rolling out, and we'll see what he can do in the NFL. But the Riders do have Curtis Rourke's rights after drafting him in the third round of the CFL draft this past year. Let's get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
All right, Belton Johnson, what do you got for your Beasts and Beefs tonight? And where do you want to start?
Let's start with the Beast.
The Beast! That's the good, by the way. What was good about tonight's game? Who gets your beast?
All right, a little rundown there. You know, first quarter, that, 50-yard touchdown pass from Trevor to, you know, Dante Myers. That was a beast moment because they had established a run as well early on to set the tone. Malik, who is a striker, forced that fumble, remember? And Dalkey recovered it. Second quarter, 69-yard reception by Emelis. Like, I mean, they were dropping haymakers, man. You know, fourth quarter, that was where the first punt came for the Riders, right? And who was it got here? A.J. Allen. I don't know if you might have walked out, Jane, but A.J. Allen had
tipped it up to Marcus Sales.
Sales, okay, yep. But my biggest beast.
The biggest beast. What do you got?
It would be that great opening to the second half. But when Trevor hit Myers for the 30-yard touchdown there, right? Because that put the Riders up 30-11. And in my head, I'm like, they're finna score 50, 60 points here, right? Like,
I thought they were going to put a 50-burger on
right?
it, too.
And then it just slowed down. But just knowing that they could come out, you know, even last week, against the Stamps, they came out. I always think you should set the tone right away. And they came out again. They set the tone right away. And Trevor Harris dropping, I don't know, I felt like he was 25 years old at night throwing deep balls like that. So they need to keep that, man.
There's your beast. Great drive, great finish on a double move for Dante Myers' second touchdown of the game and a 30-11 lead as we get to the Beefs. What do you got? What was not so good about tonight's game?
First quarter, A.J. Allen dropping interceptions, right? Like, I mean, he was all over the field, though. That late hit by Baldonado, where Rourke was sliding, right? Can't do that stuff. With Trevor Harris in the second quarter, he was thrown into double coverage, and Kent Jr. picked him off. I can't remember who he was throwing it to there, but
Emelis.
It was double cover, right? Like, throw it somewhere else. Fourth quarter. It could have been a pick six for Tavon Campbell, but
Baldonado.
All sides. Like, come on, man. But my biggest beef might be with Daryl here, you know.
Daryl?
No, not with Daryl personally, but why would they show that Kadeem Carey run again? Like,
The injury.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I understand. That's my biggest beef, too.
I saw it the first time. We don't need to see it again.
Here's a horrific, probably career-ending injury for Keaton. Let's slow it down for you. Look at this. Here's a look.
They warned you. You don't have to watch it. They said, we're going to show it once. Dusty said, we're going to show it once. Okay, I've seen
it. We saw it live.
Then don't watch it, you guys. It's not censorship. They're there to show you what's going on, and that's why you need replays. If you didn't see it, then you can watch it. You can choose to. They warned you.
Most telecasts don't show.
They show it one time, usually. They'll say, we're not going to replay it. Okay. Even in baseball and basketball, when things like that happen, and it's ugly sometimes, they say, we're going to show it.
I know there was one time they did not show it. Mm-hmm. I was there in Edmonton as the sideline reporter. Ryan Rashog was TSN sideline reporter for that, and there's a monitor on the field. J.R. LaRose broke his leg.
Oh, yeah.
It was a compound fracture. Mm. Yeah. And Rashog taps. He's like, come over here. We're having a vote. We need feedback. The producer was asking, like, what do we do with this replay? They showed the replay, and Rashog's like, I don't think so, guys. He's like, what do you think? I'm like, no, you cannot show that. Yeah. He's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. And they didn't. We're not going to show the replay of that. Yeah. And it was like the tib fib break.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mm.
This was a knee.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Sorry to describe it now for you, but
we'll show it to you. Okay, we'll you decide. That's my beef.
That's my beef, Jamie.
Belton Johnson's beef is my beef, not Daryl's beef.
No.
The replay of Kadeem Carey's leg injury.
And I feel badly for him.
We all do, no doubt.
I wonder, in the situation, this is getting off topic. Well, not off topic, really. Do you think he would ever watch it?
He probably would.
Yeah, I think so. Some guys would. Right? Especially after you recover.
I felt that I don't need to watch yours.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, see, Belton watched his injury.
But yeah, I can't look at nobody else's there.
Okay. Yeah, it's understandable, but I keep saying, listen, guys, if you don't want to watch a movie or you don't want to read a book, don't. No, but if they say we're showing it, if you don't want to watch, turn away.
I do appreciate the warning.
Good for Dustin Nielsen to say, we're going to show it to you once. So that's my point all the time. You have an option then as you're a viewer, you make the decision. So that's fair, Belton. Of course, some people say, oh, boy, I wish I hadn't watched that.
Coming up next, Trevor Harris, Game Warriors. As we continue on the Green Zone postgame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. I'm Jamie Nye with Daryl Davis and Belton Johnson as we want to get to the Game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
Each and every post-game show, Daryl Davis gives us the Game Warriors from the offense and the defense of both teams. And we always start with the winning side. And tonight with a 33-27 win for the Rough Riders, who is Saskatchewan's offensive Game Warrior?
7 targets, 7 receptions, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns, including the first one of the on the opening drive and on the first drive of the third quarter. Number 88, Dante Myers. What a game he had.
Yes. He did. Perfect on targets, catches, caught everything. 2 big plays, 2 big touchdowns for the second-year Rider, who is impressive. Well, they're all impressing on the depth of this receiving core. Still without Kean Schaefer Baker, I might add.
Impressive, right? So, Don Bain's going to have trouble getting onto this receiving core.
And let's get to the offensive game warrior for the BC Lions.
Also a receiver, Aiden Eberhardt. 6 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Number 19.
Another two-tutty night for a receiver tonight as Eberhardt was on the receiving end of the scramble throw touchdown early in the game by Nathan Rourke. There are your offensive game warriors, both receivers, both with 2 touchdowns and over 100 yards tonight. Eberhardt for the Lions, Myers for the Rough Riders. As we get to the defensive game warriors,
even though he
for the Rough Riders first.
For the Rough Riders, even though he dropped an interception, he also did the tip drill that created Marcus Sales' interception and had six defensive tackles outside linebacker, number 32, A.J. Allen.
Two knockdowns, one of those should have been a pick, but he was all over, as Belton pointed out, he was all over the place tonight. Yes. He likes playing as high school quarterback, apparently. he and Nathan Rourke went to high school together. There is A.J. Allen, the defensive game warrior for the Rough Riders, as he go to the B.C. Lions. Who you got?
Let's do a quinella of Canadian linebackers, outside linebackers. Number 46, Ben Hladik. Seven defensive tackles. They didn't have anybody who really stood out, I thought. You know, they couple guys kind of dirty, a couple cheap shots, but I think Hladik played a lot of – every time it seemed like they were getting downfield a little bit, Hladik came in and stopped them. Ouellette didn't break loose. He had a good game, but Hladik did a pretty good number, at least on stopping a steaming locomotive.
Yeah, he was only 4.8 yards per carry for A.J. Ouellette tonight. Not bad.
And he ran at Hladik quite a bit. So, yeah,
I think he had a good game. There are your game warriors as we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show. We do have a call to get to. Eric, another B.C. caller this evening. Eric, what are you thinking about the game tonight?
Oh, it was a great job by the guys today. Came out strong. It was great to keep that crowd in BC quiet. Not that they're loud in a regular day. Their sound system is amazing, but yeah, hoping the best for Kadeem Carey. They didn't even show the replay in the stadium. I saw it from where I was and did not want to see it again. So, all the best for him. But I'm glad they were able to bounce back after last week's very poor performance.
Well, I'm interested. What was the atmosphere like? The big watermelon smash thing with the Rider fans, and there's a lot of Rider fans. I'm curious, what is the atmosphere like around BC Place before the game? Are they doing a good job of like tailgating and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Like the tailgate area wasn't huge, so you'd have people coming in and out. There's long line to get in, but it wasn't bad. Like it could have used a larger area, but they did a pretty good job of keeping the crowd entertained and things going, live music.
I think Amar Doman's doing a great job out there in trying to engage a fan base.
Eric's right, though. There's limited space around there because you're right downtown.
Well, there's kind of that plaza.
Terry Fox Plaza's right in front, right? Beattie Street, off. They closed part of it down to get some people in, but there's not, you know, you don't get to have a big barbecue area for tailgating, and nobody really drives down there. You know, you're
walking taking the C train.
Taking the C train. Well, they don't call it this. C train's in Calgary. What do they call it there?
Whatever. Yeah. Transit.
Transit. Okay.
The Metro.
I forget what they call it in Vancouver, but now they don't have a great area for it, but you can tell there's a football game on, that's for sure, especially now. He has upgraded the presentation of every CFL game.
As we continue here on the Green Zone post-game show, let's hear from our offensive game warrior as Dante Myers talks to reporters after a two-touchdown performance and 132 yards.
Honestly, it starts with the game plan that Coach Mueller set for the top of the week, and the execution on details from Trevor Harris that he preaches, man. And him being a veteran quarterback and me still learning the ropes of the league, you just try to soak up all the game and listen to them when it's game time because they're proven have success, you know, and it works.
Trevor mentioned that you bug him a little bit about throwing you jump balls and getting open. Was there more talk of that this week, or is that kind of an every week thing? Because you're off to a good start this year, right?
You know, that's every week thing. You know, as a receiver and quarterback, you just tell him just to throw it up. I'll get the job done. You know, and we built that chemistry where this in the off season of last year, and you know, just taking every rep serious and building that chemistry. And you know, when that you get that product in moments like these, and you just capitalize on it.
Hey Dante, what are your thoughts on how Trevor played tonight?
Oh, he was outstanding. He's a leader. He prepares for it. And, you know, guys, he takes his work, his craft very serious. And the work and the after hours he puts during the week, you guys get to see us be explosive, put up points on the board, and just see him execute and be dominant. And, you know, that's the guy that we know him to be, and that's the guy we all saw tonight.
how much fun has it been to for you these last two road games, first Toronto and tonight two touchdowns in each and over the top quite frequently?
Honestly, it's been a lot of fun. First of all, traveling and then also just going out here and getting team wins, being explosive out there on the field. It's just fun, man. You know, we put in a lot of work during the week, and we didn't get the win last week, but to go out here and get the win this week is just everything you want.
You and Harris were able to kind of set the tone early, both in the first and the third quarter. You guys never looked back. Just what was it about the team performance that stood out to you the most?
Well, whether it was Coach Mueller, Coach Quay, Trevor, we emphasize on starting fast and starting early. You know, and we want to be aggressive. We know we're explosive offense. And, you know, that's what we want to do and not continue to be explosive throughout the game. And, you know, just because you mean start fast, we want to finish fast also. You know, and that was a goal, and that was the emphasis this week.
That is Dante Myers, our offensive game warrior, with two touchdowns and 132 yards with seven catches in a Riders victory. Coming up, we're going to do a wrap with our unsung heroes and a little bit from the quarterback, Trevor Harris, tonight, almost 400 yards passing. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson, as we'll do a little bit of a wrap before we head out for the rest of our Saturday night. And knowing us party animals, it's only just begun on a Saturday.
Not that.
We're going to bed. All righty. Let's get to the unsung heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
Maybe those players that flew under the radar, or maybe a player that just got overshone by the brightest star tonight. What do we got for the unsung hero for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
One of our callers suggested this one, and it's right. Darius Washington playing left tackle after two practices, stepping in and doing a pretty darn good job, too. He did give up one sack, one blindsider, but...
No, not a sack, just a hit.
Yeah, a hit. Okay, that's true. Okay, so one hit from the blindside, but that's pretty good for a guy playing against two of the best defensive ends in the league, too. So Darius Washington stepping in, good job. He's the unsung hero for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
And for the BC Lions?
Backup safety, Patrice Rene. Jamie, special teams. How many did he get? Three special teams tackles. So yeah. they did an okay job. And we were thinking Dre McCray might have a great game as a replacement for Mary Alford. But Rene came in and did a pretty nice job helping shut them down a little bit, slow them down.
So that is three special teams tackles for Rene of the Lions for their unsung hero. But right now we're heading back to BC. And hear from the quarterback.
It was awesome. We got to start the game on time. We didn't have to worry about smoke and sitting in the locker room and wondering what to do for hours. And so it was good. Obviously, anytime you play in the CFL to begin with, but let alone on the road, you've got to make sure that you know you're doing everything you can to win, because you got to be able to steal some on the road. And obviously against a Western opponent, it's a big one for us.
You always talk about starting fast. I know you emphasize that on any given week. So to have that many drives, you know, go down to the score. I mean, you guys only had one, two and out early, but to have that many drives that you were able to put together early in the game specifically and go down and score, and how important was that just to put a kind of a stranglehold on the game, right?
Yeah, I think there's hidden things that are advantages to as well. You keep your defense off the field, right? You give them a little bit of a breather, and you allow them to kind of, you know, catch their breath and, you know, figure out how they want to attack them and how the offense is trying to attack them. And so us sustaining drives, it does, you know, multiple things. One, allows them to catch their breath. It allows us to, you know, play on their side of the sandbox a little bit more, you know, keep field position, and it allows us to get more plays. And so we can obviously, you know, get into more of our game plan stuff and, you know, get into a little bit more of a rhythm, because offense is all about rhythm. And if we can continue to develop rhythm, you know, those are hard offenses to stop.
How good does it feel to get the win in a opposing stadium tonight?
Yeah, it was important. And, you know, obviously season series as well, something that, you know, wasn't really talked about a whole lot this week, because I think we were just worried about bouncing back. But you play a team. I think we played BC three times, right, this year? Yeah, so season series is big. And, you know, if you end up, you know, with a similar record at the end of the year, that can give you a home game. Or, you know, if you're tied for first in the West, that gives you the bye. And so those are big deals, or who crosses over, you know. And so it's one of those things where it's a big deal for us. And shoot, anytime you can win games, especially on the road in this league, it's huge. And that's a good football team. They've been playing really, really well. And, you know, I know the popular pick of this week was pick BC because they're the best. And, you know, we just got to make sure that we enjoy this for, you know, a few hours. And I downloaded some Edmonton film, so we'll start watching some Edmonton film on the way home.
But I guess there goes the 24-hour rule. Belton, he's right into it. It's the two-hour rule for Trevor Harris because they're probably already in the plane coming back.
True professional right there, man.
Well, it's a short week, too.
They play Friday right? So Edmonton's coming here. Oh, scary.
Well, Keith has the numbers, and he said the Riders are like the Stamps. They haven't beat the Elks at Mosaic in a bit, so I just don't see
They also hadn't
won
a BC place in their last three visits, so things can change.
Yeah.
And they also didn't used to throw long passes, and they throw long passes. And they also never blitz. And they blitzed all night. So all those things that we thought the Riders would do, and we'd also a couple of us thought they would lose, too. So they're contrarians tonight, and good for them. They played really well.
Okay, let's do a wrap tonight.
See ya.
Final thoughts. bold predictions.
Oh, I thought you're counting bold predictions. I'm going home.
Bold predictions.
I want to hear this.
No, I don't want to hear it. Stop it.
Sam Emilis's return. How many catches, yards, touchdowns, and his longest play of the day? He only got two catches tonight on three targets. So you did get 1 point for that, Daryl. You were the lowest at 4. 78 yards. Belton was 7 away. You were 10 away. He said 85. You said 68. No touchdowns. That's what Daryl and I said. And the 66 was the longest play. I had 30 was the longest, so I got the point. Belton swept the rushing category and the defensive line category. Rushing yards for the Riders, 111. Belton was the closest. Rushing average, 4.45. Belton was the closest. Sacks for the Riders, 1. Belton and I said 1. Rushing yards for the Lions, 43. Belton had the lowest number at 78. 4.3 rushing average. Belton said 3.7. He was 0.6 away. You were 0.8 away, Daryl. So Belton gets the point. How many sacks for the Lions? 0. Belton and I both said 2. You said 4, so we get that point. Dre McCray's debut, 74 kick return yards. That goes to Daryl. 44 goes to me for punt return yards. 0 missed field goal return yards, which is Belton in my prediction. Longest 26. I was the lowest at 31. And Belton sweeps the score. He was the only one to pick the Riders. So he got both those points. He's at 10 points tonight. I'm at 7. You're at 3, Daryl. So your lead is cut drastically.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you got. Welcome back, you guys.
44, 42, 35 is that one.
Oh, there.
Riders 5-1 at the end of the first third of the season. The Edmonton Elks coming in next to Mosaic Stadium next Friday. It is a short week for the Rough Riders as they get set for the woeful Edmonton Elks at 1-4. That's a 7 o'clock start. The official Green Zone pregame show starts at 5. We'll end around 11 midnight-ish. Hopefully not this time for a Friday night affair. Daryl, Belton, I'll see you then. 5 o'clock next Friday for another Green Zone game day.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend. And, of course, Locker and I will be back at 2 on Monday on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.